Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael
Stern. We are playing the Russian national anthem on The Savage Nation because we want peace with Russia. We are not going to be dragged into a war by the evil Democrats who have started this psychotic narrative and now believe it themselves. Welcome to The Savage Nation. This is no longer a joke. This is psychotic. This is evil. This is biblical. It must be stopped. I'm going to do something for you that I have not done in a long while. In fact, I never did it, which is this, a flashback. On October 17th, 2016, Donald Trump, then running for office, came on The Savage Nation, and we had a great dialogue. And during the dialogue, I asked Mr. Trump if he would meet with Vladimir Putin before the inauguration, if he won the presidency. Do you remember that? I said, if you win the presidency on November 8th or November 7th, whatever the day of the election, pardon me, all of you twits in the news media, you know what I think of you? I think of you, Montana, is what I think of you. And we'll talk about that in a minute because we're going to talk about everything from Montana to Moscow on The Savage Nation today. Let me tell you something. You keep pushing people around, you're going to get pushback. There's only so much we're going to take from you. Now, let me go into this story a little bit more. October 17, 2016, Trump is on this show. I asked him a question because I saw what Hillary Clinton and the evil Democrat machine was doing, which was ginning up a Russia story that was fake. And I said, we're in a cold war now with Russia, when for years we were in a hot relationship with Russia. Then it became a warm relationship with Russia. Now all of a sudden, under Obama and Hillary, they want a war with Russia. Would you meet with Putin when you take office? Trump said something interesting, which I led him to, and I don't know if he regrets this or not, but on this show we made news. I want you to listen to clip number two on The Savage Nation carefully. Listen to every word. It's only a minute long.
Donald, listen, how would you defuse the situation now between Russia and the U.S., assuming the world doesn't blow up before January? What would you do if you were president, first day, what would you do with Putin to stop these war drums?
Well, the problem is we have Putin has no respect for Obama at all, doesn't like him and doesn't respect him, and Obama doesn't like Putin, but they have a great dislike for each other, and Putin has no respect at all for Obama, and I think that you have potentially a really catastrophic situation here, I'll be honest with you, because those two are not... I will say this. If I win on November 8th, and hopefully every one of your listeners is going to go out, we're going to need everybody.
Absolutely.
So Republicans have a tougher path, you know that, to get there.
Yes.
But
yes.
If I win on November 8th, I think I could see myself meeting with Putin and meeting with Russia prior to the start of the administration. I think it would be
wow. That's an amazing news story. That's fabulous, Mr. Trump.
Really? So that's actionable? You schmucks, you evil people in the media, you rats, you warmongers, you psychotics, you morons, you Hollywood drug addicts, you. Been man wanted to defuse things with Russia? All of you cowards in your tight skinny jeans, all of you sluts in your tight dresses. You want more Muslims in the country? You want open borders and love while you live behind closed gates with bodyguards? You psychos, you? And we're supposed to believe anything you say with your fake movies? Let me tell you something right now. Trump did the right thing by talking with diplomats in Russia. Even if he spoke with Putin, so what? Did you want war with Russia? Then go enlist somewhere. Go enlist somewhere with your skinny pants. Or your tight dresses. Go enlist in the military and go fight the Russian troops, you idiots, you. You don't even know what you're talking about. So Trump comes on the show and he says, yes, if I win, I'll even talk with Putin and others before I'm inaugurated. Now, tell me why it would be a crime if he spoke with others in Russia or Putin himself. Tell me where the crime is. There is no crime. The crime is in the mind of Wolf Blitzer. The crime is in the mind of Jake Tapper. The crime is in the mind of Andy Cooper. The crime is in the mind of the criminals in the media. That's where the crime is. The crime is in the mind of Mad Maxine. The crime is in the mind of Nanny Nancy. That's where the crime is. There is no crime, you idiots, you. We're also going to talk about the Montana story. I have live stations in Montana, KBOZ in Bozeman, KMPT in Missoula, KYYA in Billings, Montana. And there's a story coming out there of a Republican candidate who allegedly body slammed a twit from the Guardian newspaper. He had enough with him. Now, I'm not going to support attacking anyone because I don't believe in that. However, whatever happened, happened. And I'd like to hear from the voters in Montana as to whether or not your vote has changed as a result of this alleged body slamming of the Twitty reporter on the Savage Nation, because witnesses have changed their story. It is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-47282. There are many other stories. I'll just read you some of the headlines that caught my eye. I'm not surprised by this one. Drug counselors overdose at addiction facility. Are you listening to this story? Oh, drug counselors? That's an oxymoron. Drug counselors? Who do you think they are? They're former addicts. Let me tell you something. There's almost no such thing as a former addict. Two counselors at an addiction facility in southeastern Pennsylvania died after ODing on opioids. Are you listening to this story? Okay, you got the story. This is not a funny story. This is a tragic story. You think it's a funny story? I don't. Here's another story for those of you who hate Christians and love Muslims. Villains in an upcoming video game are white Christian right-wing extremists from Montana. I guess that'll please all of the twits from L.A. who live behind guard gates and hate America, hate Christians, hate people with guns, hate those in the military, hate those who wear crosses and tell us to open our borders to more Somalis who may be terrorists. You're not going to believe this. A graphic for the latest installment of the video game series, Far Cries, indicates that white Christian Americans from Montana will be the antagonists. This I found on InfoWars, written by Adan Salazar. It's astounding, the story. You're not going to believe it, but the characters that they show are all white Christians as the villains, not those who blow up schoolgirls in Manchester or kill gays in Orlando, but the white Christians who are the backbone of the United States of America. This is how sick this country has become as a result of the round-the-clock propaganda by Andy Cooper, Jake Tapper, Wolf Blitzer, and the other vermin who are destroying this country from within. Here's another little story for you. The New York Police Department and more sponsors have dropped out of the Puerto Rican Day Parade because they're honoring a terrorist freed by Barack Obama. You know Obama pointedly and knowingly released MS-13 gang members. Didn't make that story to the newspaper, huh? Didn't get to your newspaper? Did Obama, it was leaked, knowingly released MS-13 gang members into the streets of America in order to bring this country to its knees. That's what he did, that criminal, that gangster, that snake. Well, he also released a Puerto Rican terrorist just in time for the annual National Puerto Rican Day Parade. Well, the parade now has suddenly lost some sponsors because they're celebrating a convicted terrorist who sentenced President Barack the Snake Obama commuted and who was released this month. Who dropped out of the parade? The New York Yankees, Coca-Cola, JetBlue, and ATT all pulled out of the June 11th parade this week in the wake of the parade committee's decision to award Lopez Rivera, a terrorist who enabled acts of terrorism in the name of Puerto Rican independence, the title of National Freedom Hero. Are you listening to this? In addition to sponsors, representatives of the city's fire and police departments have also rescinded their support for the Puerto Rican Day Parade. The NYPD confirmed that Commissioner James P. O'Neill will not attend the event over the decision to honor Lopez Rivera, while the NYPD and FDNY Hispanic societies have both withdrawn from the parade. Good for them. Good for them for overriding the ethnicity and going to the sanity. The union representing New York's firefighters also withdrew its support. The controversy centers around Lopez Rivera's role as a key member of the radical Marxist Armed Forces of National Liberation, FALN, which conducted more than 100 bombings in the U.S. in the 70s and 80s, killing 5 people, injuring dozens, and causing millions of dollars worth of damage. So this is who they're celebrating in the Puerto Rican Day Parade? I am so glad to hear that finally some sponsors are on the right side of things and that the NYPD and the FDNY are also on the right side of things. This is the Savage Nation. Lots of stories, believe me. There's no end to the news. Just when you think there is no news, there's news, news, and more news. There's news about the news. Now, the biggest story to me is the Russia story. I will go back again to the main theme of today's show, which is that if Trump talked with Russia before he was inaugurated or after, so what? What is the big deal? He's on a historical and monumental foreign trip right now, and all you hear in this country from the left-wing fanatics, I don't have names for them anymore. All I have to do is say that the reporters, and you say reporter now, what you think of as a human, I wish I could say what I really want to say. I'm at the point of boiling. What happened in Montana is just the beginning of what's going to happen in this country if they keep it up. If they keep pushing red-blooded Americans around, if they keep supporting Islamic murderers and attacking the soldiers who go out there to stop them or kill them, I'm warning you that you will have a civil war in this country. I'm warning you, Andy Cooper. I'm warning you, Wolf Blitzer. I'm warning you, Jake Tapper. Cut your rhetoric down. Stop attacking white Christians. Stop attacking soldiers. Stop attacking everything that's right in this country and supporting everything that's wrong and perverted. You have to understand, you are destroying this country. So Russia, 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 they can't stop pushing the false narrative that Trump colluded with the Russians. Every day, the Amazon Post, used to know it as the Washington Post, but it was bought by the Amazon guy, and he turned it into a mimeograph sheet against Trump. And the so-called Old York Times, they come out with some other story that was leaked to them by anonymous sources about Trump and Russia. The latest one from the Old York Times talks about how Russian officials discussed how to influence Trump aides last summer. This is news? This is news? All governments, even ours, try to influence elected officials in every country. Do you remember Obama tried to influence the elections in Israel? Have you forgotten what the snake did? Have you forgotten that the snake sent some of his little rats over there to Israel to undermine Netanyahu? That didn't get reported by Tapper. Blitzer and company did it. All the little mice didn't report that. All governments, even ours, try to influence elected officials in every country. So now CNN, the worst of them all, is running with a story about Jeff Sessions not disclosing a contact he had with the Russian ambassador, even though he's not required to list every interaction he has with foreign officials. To all this, I say, so what? You don't remember, but before the election is when the Democrats began painting Russia as the evil one. It's been over a year. And last October, before the election, Donald Trump came on the show and I told him this would happen. I said that they're setting him up to blame Russia to make his administration seem illegitimate. I have the soundbite. You're not going to believe this. I predicted this. I told it to Donald. I told him they were setting him up. Then I asked him how he would defuse a situation that was becoming increasingly tense because of the Democrat hateful rhetoric and what he would do to stop the war drums. That's when we made national news. Donald told me he knew that the situation was bad because Putin had no respect for Obama. And then he dropped the bombshell on the show that if he won the election, he could meet with Putin before the start of the administration. That was a huge story. Do you know what happened after that? Obama the snake and the evil anti-American Democrats and the sneaky media all started to play down that Russia was influencing the election. They were doing this because they thought Hillary was going to win and they didn't want any questions as to whether there was any interface or interference into the election. But Trump surprisingly won. He won an upset. He was the underdog. Then it became all about Russia and collusion. And all the talk and all the news is taking our relationship with Russia to a new low, to a point where it will be beyond repair. None of this is a mystery. There is no collusion. Donald Trump told the Savage Nation he would talk with Putin before he took office right here on this show. And he was going to do so to make peace with Russia. If that was collusion, then I'm in favor of collusion. I'll be right back. I'm the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So we're dealing with everything from Montana to Moscow in the Savage Nation, and I have three great affiliates in Montana. You don't know this, right? I have KBOZ in Bozeman, KMPT in Missoula, KYYN Billings, and there's a big hoo-ha over this Italian, sounds like an Italian name, Gianforte, a tough guy, running for office. He gets set up by this twit from a left-wing newspaper who keeps goading him and goading him and goading him. So apparently the guy body slammed him and threw him out of the office. Now, I'm not for that. As you know, I'm a man of peace, and I come in peace, and I project peace. But you know, human emotions tend to run high. You keep goading real American men, the real ones, not the ones playing men in Hollywood, but the ones who are real men, and things happen that you don't expect. And I ask the people in Montana if their vote has changed. Roscoe on KBOZ radio in Bozeman. Roscoe, has your vote changed as a result of the body slamming?
It hasn't changed, but what I was not going to vote today because I just thought that the G-Man, Gianforte, had this election in the bag. However, now with watching what I've seen on TV, I'm going to go down and vote this afternoon. And one thing I would do if I was you, Michael, I would call this election right now for Gianforte. Just get on the rig and let's just call it, and he won. I think that would...
How do we know he won? It's not in yet.
Well, I follow elections a lot in Montana, and I'm kind of an expert on this, and that's what I would... That's my opinion. You can get this number, and you can be sure that he will win.
All right, so you were not going to go vote because you thought he was a shoo-in, but now that he's been set up by the left-wing smear machine, you're definitely going to vote for Gianforte. All right, Roscoe, I'm sending you a copy of Trump's War because we're all at war. It's a war not only against radical Islam, but against the American media. Yes, let me make it very clear. It is a war for our survival against the slimy snakes in the media who are out to push us too far and destroy every last one of us who actually believes in the red, white, and blue and the borders, language, and culture that I talk about on The Savage Nation. Now, when I come back, I am going to play a soundbite from October 17, 2016 with Donald Trump, where I eerily predicted that they would set up a Russian hacking narrative to destroy him if he won. That is right. This is The Savage Nation. I'm Michael Savage, the radio wizard. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
State of Montana is one of the last holdouts of the real America. Churches, real families, real men, things like that. These snakes, the anti-American vermin, are targeting Montana to try to insert one of their deviants into the political process. They gave him a cowboy hat. They gave him a Roy Rogers guitar. You know, so something happened. He pushed a guy of Italian descent, I believe, by the name Gianforte. I never heard of him, who's running. Some twit from the Guardian paper goes and sticks a mic in his face and doesn't stop. And he says, stop it. So something happens. He blew a fuse. I'm a hot-tempered person. I know how these things happen. So now they're trying to undermine the candidate in Montana. The election today, it's a special election. And the reason there is an election in Montana right now, the special election is because the representative from Montana was selected by Donald Trump to go to Washington and work in his administration. So now the left-wing vermin, funded no doubt by George the Snake, George the Reptile Soros, in my estimation, the reptile is behind all of this, sends this reporter to keep goading this guy, goading the guy, goading the guy. And the guy freaks. I'm going to play that soundbite in a minute. But I must go back to the biggest story, which is the international story of the fake narrative of Trump talking to Russia. You don't know how big this is. This is a huge story. He came on the show October 17th, and he said, yes, if I win on November 8th, I think I could see myself meeting with Putin and meeting with Russia prior to the start of the administration. So they're taking what would make sense if you were a patriot and didn't want war with Russia and turning it into the exact opposite. But what do you expect from a party like the Democrats run mainly? Oh, I wish I could finish the sentence. I wish you were in my house with me right now. I tell you exactly why they're doing this. But in the following soundbite, you will hear me predicting to Donald Trump that they will try to destroy him with the false narrative of Russia hacking. Yes, I was the one who saw it because I am Linkaeus, the pilot seer of the Argonauts in radio. Listen to clip three.
You know that I've studied the news and I do nothing but the news day and night. I do nothing else. What they're setting you up for is that if you win the election, which could happen, by the way, you're not out yet at all. They're trying to discourage Republicans and conservatives from voting, in my opinion, because they know that you're ahead in the polls. Their own internal polls are showing you surging. They're setting it up so that if you win, this illegitimate government will claim that the Russians hacked the election and it is an illegitimate election, Donald. That's what I see coming. Do you agree with that possibility?
Well, I think this. I do think we're probably ahead because we have tremendous enthusiasm. Our people are going to all vote, and I think a lot of people, for instance, I think we're going to do very well with African-Americans.
I'm not interested in the election per se. I should win a Pulitzer Prize for that particular soundbite. If there was a legitimate Pulitzer Prize, if there was a legitimate award for the most insightful analysis in the news business, I would win the highest of prizes, but I don't expect it from the vermin who are undermining America. I won the highest prize in America by having the most highly rated show on many stations in this country and by having my book Trump's War debut as number one on the New York Times list. That was the prize. That said, the Americans said, we know how good you are, Mike, and we saw that you saw it coming before all of us. Did you hear what I just said to Donald? They're going to set you up. I saw it. I'd be the greatest consigliere he could ever get because I'm not a lawyer and I don't think like a lawyer. I don't think like a lawyer. Some lawyers are brilliant. I've met some who are geniuses. But I'm not a lawyer. I don't think the way lawyers think. They're two-dimensional. I think five-dimensionally. And I saw what was coming. Now I want to go over to the Montana story because I say we're covering everything from Moscow to Montana. And so this lousy reporter keeps goading the candidate, sticking the mic in his face, setting him up with antagonizing questions, basically yelling fire in a crowded theater over and over again at him. Listen what happens.
And when we'll talk to you about that later.
Yeah, but there's not going to be time. I'm just curious if you
have speak with Shane, please.
But you don't.
I'm sick and tired of you guys. The last time you came in here, you did the same thing. Get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here. The last guy did the same thing. You were the guardian?
Yes, and you just broke my glasses.
The last guy did the same damn thing.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
Get the hell out of here.
He just body slammed me. All right, again, I'm a man of peace. I don't believe it's legitimate for anyone to slam a reporter to the ground. However, emotions run very high when you provoke people, especially if they're real men who actually eat steak. If he had been on a vegan diet, or was at a vegan bakery while watching a rape and just stood on the side and watched it. Did you hear about that one last week, a kidnapping in San Francisco? A mother, Saturday morning with a three-year-old child, is outside a bakery in San Francisco by the waterfront. A homeless woman, a deranged maniac who belongs in a nut house, grabs the baby away from the mother. There's a scuffle. So they interview people from other stores around there. Some guy who runs a vegan cookie store said he observed the whole thing and did nothing. But two guys who ran the butcher shop next door came running over and subdued the homeless garbage till the police arrived. If ever you wanted to know what meat does for you, there it is. Now, you go to a meat-eating state like Montana, and you stick a microphone in people's faces and you start jabbing them with it, you never know what might happen. And that's why I'm asking the people listening to the show from Montana. I didn't know I had three great stations there because, you know, I focus on the biggest stations. You know that. There's no secret. But I said to the guys, how many stations do we have live in Montana? I was so pleased to hear that we have KBOZ in Bozeman, KMPT Missoula, KYYA in Billings, that I'm even thinking of buying a ranch up there. I've not been to Montana, but I have family who's been to Montana. They love it. 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 You ever watch the shows on TV on the weekend, sometimes the sports shows, and you see the guys riding the bulls? Where do you think they're from? Do you think they're from Beverly Hills? No, those are the fake bull riders. They're not the real ones. They're fake. It's a digital imposition of the actor riding a bull. Do you think that they're in the neighborhoods where Woody Allen lives? They ride bulls. No, they ride in limousines. On the Upper East Side of Manhattan. But the men who actually ride bulls and break steers and break horses. I know it sounds hurtful to the snowflakes out there. But you see, in order to take a wild horse and make the horse tame enough to ride and stuff, you have to actually break its spirit. I know it sounds very sad. I know you were raised as a wild child by your parents who let you smear whatever you wanted on the wall because she thought it was art. Even if you took your wet diaper and smeared it on the wall, and if your father dared say anything, your mother probably said, "No, honey, don't hurt Melvin's spirit. Don't you see it's like a Picasso on the wall, honey?" So you see, you don't ride bulls in Manhattan. All you do is throw the bull in Manhattan. But in the state where they're actually bull riders and meat eaters, you can't keep going to them and sticking a mic in their face and setting them up when they say, "Get out of my face." You know, get out of my face. You better start respecting people's boundaries. You never know what might happen. Now, there's more to the story that you don't know that you're going to learn on the show today. A lot more. And we're going to talk about that. If Trump talked with Russia, so damn what? He said he would. And I also showed you with a soundbite just now, which will be a story on World Net Daily in a bit. And I hope it's widely disseminated, that I predicted that the narrative would be that there was Russian hacking, and that's why he won. I told it to Donald on October 17th before anybody else in the medium of radio. Because, like Linkaeus, the pilot seer of the Argonauts, I am atop the highest mast in the radio business. No one sees farther than I do. Nobody ever has and nobody ever will. It's just a fact of reality. Now, having said that, what good is this going to do anyone? Am I going to gain anything by this? Maybe I will gain the respect of those out there who don't really know what's going on with the Russia thing, that it's a complete false narrative, a totally false narrative. Of course he spoke with people in Russia before he was inaugurated. He said he would, and he did so. So what? Don't you remember what Obama was trying to do, start a war with Russia? Don't you remember what Hillary did, calling Putin Hitler? You forgot that? Remember, we lived through the Cold War with Russia in the 50s when I was a little boy. I had Nike missile installments outside my neighborhood there in Queens, New York. Believe it or not, in bare lots, there were Nike missile batteries. Would you believe this? We used to bicycle by them. We're ready for a war with Russia. It was living under a cloud, a fear of a nuclear war any minute. And then the Cold War ended. Glasnost came, the wall fell down, the whole thing. Russia became a different nation, and there was peace with Russia. Suddenly they could buy dungarees on their own. They didn't have to smuggle them in. Suddenly all the girls that no longer looked like Stalin's housekeeper arrived in America, and people started to love Russia again. And there was peace with Russia. Everyone liked Russians. And then along came the snake. Along came the snake from Indonesia, Kenya, Hawaii, wherever he, and the snake started the narrative that Russia's our enemy and wanted a war with Russia. And then Hillary wanted to win, so she started another fake narrative created by her PR firm that Russia this, Russia that, Russia's no good. They always needed to have somebody to demonize. But do you know about this thing in Montana on the other story? Do you know who this reporter is, what he did to Gianforte? You're going to learn right now on the Savage Nation. DJ is calling, I think, on KSFO online, Line 8. DJ, what's the story about that reporter who was goading the reporter in Montana?
Thanks, Michael. Basically, we think of instigating and baiting as checkers. This guy's been playing chess. It's not a one-off move. I've known Greg for 20 years. This thing last night was just the last of a series of moves in the ultimate setup. The same guy 3 weeks ago was the one pushing the story falsely that Greg has secret, covert Russian investments. So he was planting the seed, setting Greg.
Wait. You mean this rat? The rat reporter whose glasses got broken was pushing that lie?
Yeah, I got a phone call April 29th, my wife's birthday dinner, and from someone in Montana saying this is the story that's coming out, and it's the same guy, Ben Jacobs, who is pushing Russia on Greg in his investment portfolio, which I can tell you is not the case.
Well, you know, there are libel laws that could apply even to so-called reporters. They're not above the law. You know that.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's some chess moves starting to take place now up in Montana after elections occur, right?
Let me just tell you something. There are vermin in the media who try to say things about me and my background that are totally false. And they keep repeating them. Well, one of them just did it to me, and my lawyer went after them through their lawyer, and he said, if you don't give us a retraction, we're going to sue you and break your magazine. They retracted it immediately. They are subject to libel laws, and your candidate should use the laws that protect all of us from rats, whether they wear eyeglasses or not. We are now living in a war, and we are in a war zone, and we're fighting for our survival, and I thank you for that call. Believe me, I thank you for that call. Before I take my break, I invite you to call 855-407-282 on Moscow to Montana. And I want to tell you something that's very important. And you know I talk about a great night's sleep because I'm a really light sleeper. And a great night's sleep actually does help me have a great day. It should help you have a great day. And I get a great night's sleep every night on my Casper mattress. I've told you that. The Casper mattress was invented with two high-tech foams that happens to give us all the support that we need and guarantees that we get the best night's sleep ever. It comes to you for free in a box that's so small you won't believe it holds a mattress. Easy to get into your bedroom. And I love that Casper lets you try the mattress for 100 nights in your own bedroom. Risk-free. They'll come pick it up if you don't love it as much as I love mine. And they give you back everything. No questions asked. From its breakthrough design to its packaging to letting you try it for 100 nights. It's no wonder Casper was named one of Fast Company's 50 most innovative brands of 2017. So getting a guaranteed great night's sleep is even easier thanks to this special offer from Casper. Now through May 30th, you can save $75 on the purchase of your mattress and an additional Casper product at Casper.com when you use my code SAVAGE. Write it down. That's Casper.com, code SAVAGE, for $75 towards your purchase of the mattress and an additional Casper product. Get yours today at Casper.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I'm not going to hold this for three straight hours. We're talking about very serious stories, both, let's say, local, national, and international. And I played some tapes from October of 2016 where Donald Trump was on this show, where he said he would meet with Putin before taking office, said he would, to calm things down. And then I looked ahead and I said they're going to make up a narrative that the election was hacked and it's illegitimate. I said that in October. I saw what they were doing. I saw the chess moves, and I played those. Then we played the Montana story where a sneaky rat reporter kept goading and goading and goading a candidate, a Republican, of course, and apparently the Republican freaked out and gave him a body slam, and I think he was arrested for it, but he's still running for office, and I've asked people in Montana to call to see where they stand on this. I didn't tell them what to do. If you listen very carefully, have you backed out on Gianforte, or are you actually supporting him more now? That's what I want to know. And then we talked about opiates, 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 because a story came out of drug counselors overdosing at an addiction facility in Pennsylvania. And this is an astounding story because I do not believe that this is a unique story. I believe, and I have believed for many years, that the very same people who sell drugs on the streets are involved in the recovery business. I have no way to prove that. But to me, it's part and parcel of the same industry. And there's only one solution to this problem. And unfortunately, we don't live in the Philippines. The phone number is 855-407-282. That's the phone number. If you care to comment on any of these crazy stories, I'll be here with you for the next couple of hours, quote, I hope. You never know what happens in the middle of a show. And then there's other stories. Theresa May of UK is now freaked out, saying that the special relationship is undermined by the leaks of the New York Times. It's amazing. The British police shared pictures and stories of the attack by the Muslims on the poor girls, and they were immediately leaked from somebody in our intelligence communities to the New York Times, damaging our relationship with England. It was not Donald Trump who did it. It's the enemy within. It's the enemies within the New York Times, the enemies within the government itself. Pay careful attention to the bouncing ball. This is the Savage Nation. See you in a few minutes.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award.
All right, welcome back. So everyone's a cowboy here in America all of a sudden. They suddenly know cowboy culture. So you get a pencil-necked fake newser who goes out there to Montana to antagonize a Republican in a special election. He breaks into a room, a private room. You don't know the whole story, do you? This creep, Ben Jacobs, whatever he is, the guy whose glasses got broken, goes out there, and there's no direct video of the incident, only audio, which I played for you. But the guy, there's some details to the story. There was a private meeting that this creepy reporter went into. He was asked to leave, the Guardian guy. He said, get out of here. Stop it already. You're goading me. First of all, this reporter, as we learned, put out false stories that Gianforte, the candidate, had a secret deal with Russia. Again, Russia. That's their only narrative now. Everything is Russia. Everything Russia, Russia, Russia. That's all they've got on their minds now. Little girls got macerated by Muslims over there in England, and this creep is talking about this crap. Now, you understand why the reporters are out to kill the country and how dangerous they are? So he goes in the room, and they say, get out of here. Well, anyway, the rest you know the whole story. Do you know? Apparently, a reporter, so-called, from Fox News, if you want to call her a reporter, this thing, Acuna, wrote a report. Fox News reporter Alicia Acuna wrote a report published on Fox News that allegedly detailed what happened as Jacobs aggressively questioned Gianforte, the candidate. Well, it turns out she now backtracked on her story. She went on the Laura Ingraham show, this reporter, today, and backtracked. Ingraham asked Acuna if that meant she was changing a story. And all of a sudden, yes, she says, well, just to clarify, says Laura, he didn't grab him by the neck with both hands in the way that was initially described. That's not quite accurate, says Laura at the end of the interview. No, so it wasn't like he grabbed him around the neck. He had one hand on each side of his neck, said the Acuna reporter. In other words, we don't know what actually happened. But here's the account from the candidate's side. Quote, tonight as Greg was giving a separate interview in a private office, the Guardian's Ben Jacobs entered the office without permission. That's called what? What is that called when you enter an office without permission? Does anyone know what that is? That's called trespassing. Aggressively shoved a recorder in Greg's face and began asking badgering questions. These cowards in the media don't have the guts to do that in a mosque after a blow-up. Did they go to any mosques in Orlando and stick a microphone in the face of an imam, a hate preacher? No. So where does the old reporter go? To a red-blooded American. So he apparently vandalizes the office by breaking in there, gets aggressive, sticks the thing in his face, and they say to him, get out. Would you please leave? Well, then they continue. Says, Greg, the candidate, then attempted to grab the phone that was pushed in his face. The Gianforte statement continues. The reporter, Jacobs, grabbed Greg's wrist and spun away from Greg, pushing them both to the ground. Now, Montana has early voting in federal elections, and reported estimates suggest that as much as 70% of total expected votes had already been cast before the incident. So the day of votes are being cast right now as we speak this Thursday, and I've asked you in Montana, where I'm live on three stations, has your vote changed? It's that simple. Then we got the recovery story, drug counselors overdose at addiction facility, and then we got the Russia story. But I'm going to move on to something else as well, which is the attack on the little girls in England, how it's been swept aside by the vermin who are only interested in pushing the false narrative of Russia. collusion, Russia. It's the Titanic of the news business to keep pushing this lie. We all hated them before the election. We hate them even more now. And I'm using a strong word because I believe it. They are going to kill us all. How would you explain that after little girls are blown up to in pieces by a nail bomb by Muslims, a Muslim and others in the ISIS cell over there, including his wonderful blood brother, how come they're not covering that story? Ask The Guardian's Ben Jacobs why he won't cover a story from his home of England, if that's where he lives. I mean, The Guardian's an English newspaper. He's probably an American snit from the NYU area who works for The Guardian, I would guess, a stringer out here. Ask him why he's not covering the connection to the mosque in London, if any, and the connection to the mosque in Manchester, if any. Ask him why he's not investigating that. Ask Ben Jacobs why he's not going back to England and sticking a microphone in the face of a few imams or a few Muslims in the streets of Manchester and asking them if they approve or disapprove of the killing of the girls. Or ask Ben Jacobs of The Guardian, or for that matter, ask Wolf Blitzer, or ask Jake Tapper, or ask any of the other louts in the media why they're not asking CAIR here in America why they've not put out a statement condemning the attack on the little girls in England. Ask them why the brave reporters aren't doing that. These stinkers. These people who are ruining the world and ruining the nation. Don't think I'm saying this because they're attacking Trump. That bothers me very much because it looks to be a false narrative. It bothers me because they won't report what needs to be reported, which is the invasion of America by barbarians who not only do not respect our way of life, but want to destroy our way of life. And these barbarians want to convert us to their ninth century vision of the universe. And the first people on earth who you would think would be against the barbaric invasion would be all of these cowardly pencil-necked reporters. Those are the ones who are most vulnerable. If these barbarians would blow up little girls at a concert, can you imagine what these barbarians would do to these liberal reporters if they could actually get the power and get their hands on them? Can you imagine what these barbarians would do to them if they went up to them with a microphone, went into one of their neighborhoods and got as aggressive as they did with this guy in Montana? Ask them why they don't go into a Muslim neighborhood after a bombing anywhere on earth, and ask Muslims in the street what they think about the bombing. Do they support it or do they reject it? Is it part of Islam or is it against Islam? Ask yourself why they don't go around with their little recording devices to a mosque somewhere and ask the attendees and the quote imams what they think of the bombing. We don't know what they think because there's no reportage, because they're busy with their little honeybee. They're creating a little honey for their little hive, and the honey is the big lie. Okay? So, I mean, we've covered that stuff. But now there's some other stories that I have to get to, if you don't mind. There is a man named Dr. Zudi Jasser, who used to be on the show a lot, who went on Newsmax today or yesterday. And he said Islamic mosques are the key to the UK attacks. He's a Muslim himself. Listen to clip number four. Here is a Muslim telling us that it's the mosques themselves that are the key to survival. Listen.
This attitude from the UK, from Europe, this is why they continue to have more and more attacks. It's like trying to prevent drunk driving by ignoring the alcoholism, but just trying to say, well, we need to take the keys away. Well, that might help. But at the end of the day, they're ignoring the substance, which is Islamism, supremacists, the mosques in Britain. The Brexit move, if you will, I think started to reboot, reset British nationalism, and I think will be part of the solution.
You hear this? Now he talks next about lone wolves and known wolves. You know how every time there's a Muslim attack, they call it a lone wolf? He says there's no such thing. He said they're known wolves. They're being tracked by the government. Listen to number five. It's really eerie.
You know, many of these guys end up being what Patrick Poole and others have called known wolves, not lone wolves, known wolves. And the problem is all of our apparatus, even in America, we're still focused at that last stage, which is when they operationalize, they get online or they go to Syria or Libya, as this guy did, and probably learn how to make the bomb.
You hear this? So they're known wolves, not lone wolves. Tell that to the CIA. This is the Savage Nation, if you want to talk about any of these subjects. The phone number is 855-407-282. We're trying to broaden it from Montana to Moscow. Again, we'll take your calls here on the Savage Nation. KLIF, Dallas, Texas. Rich, go ahead, please. What's your comment?
Yeah, Yes, Michael, first of all, I heard your show the day you made that prediction when Trump won what would happen with Russia. You were right on. That was great. But I got to tell you, Michael, I was listening, and I hate this channel, but I got on CNN last night late, and here was Don Lemon. And they were talking about this thing that happened in Montana, and I really hadn't heard about it. So I'm listening, and he's got this little panel of five people, and he's calling on each one of them asking, why did this happen? Why do you think this happened? And he's got an African-American guy there who's pretty conservative. And he says, you know why it happens? He says, we've got people in the United States that have no respect. They don't have this. They don't have that. And Don Lemon stopped him in his tracks, and he goes, no, tell the audience why it really happened. And he goes, what do you mean? He goes, just tell him. It's all about Trump. Trump is causing all this.
Don Lemon, if you were in a store buying light bulbs and you buy them by wattage, there's a 100-watt bulb, a 60-watt bulb, a 40-watt bulb. Don Lemon is a refrigerator bulb in the bulb department. He has about as much wattage as a refrigerator bulb or an oven bulb. A couple of books ago, he was the only one on CNN who invited me on. Of course, I wouldn't go because a wise man wrote that hell is a place where there is no reason. So I choose not to go where there is no reason. There's not much more I can say about him. He looks like he has an IQ of approximately 90 after a plate of fish oils. If he dipped into a dish of fish oils, let's say like M&M's, and ate as many as he could in that day, maybe a 95 IQ top. What's the guy's educational background? Why would anyone listen to this guy? So pay no attention to them. I know it agitates us to see that they have a platform, but there's nothing we can do about the idiots who run the news media. They're never going to change. If, God forbid, a terrorist attack occurred right in their building, they'd still blame it on Donald Trump. Okay, so thank you for that call. We're running short of time. And I guess everyone wants to talk about the Montana story because it keeps on changing. What I want to see is what happens today in the election. And again, I'm going to invite people from Montana. I guess you call them Montanans. Is that how you say it? Montanans? That's like tannins and tea or something. The Montanans out there, are you changing your vote or you're actually motivated to vote for Mr. Gianforte more so today? It's an interesting story, by the way, how this plays out and what effect this cretinous reporter will have upon the election. I'm actually very interested to see the results myself this evening. You know, everything sacred in America, everything that we loved, has been under assault by these left-wing evildoers. Look what they did to the image of the cowboy with that movie, Brokeback Mountain. Remember what they did? They tried to turn cowboys, they were saying subtly that all cowboys basically are gay, that underneath the surface, when they get out on the prairie, that's what they do. I mean, do you remember what they did with that movie? Do you understand what we mean by propaganda value and the poisonous culture of America as promulgated by the news media and by Hollywood, which is virtually one and the same? They have poisoned images of John Wayne. They've poisoned images of soldiers, sailors, Marines. Everywhere you turn, they try to poison images of mother and father, saying we're dysfunctional families if we raise our children. That the real heroes of America are the transgendered individuals. Do you understand what I am saying to you? How sick this country has become? How upside down the nation has become? Do you think that Nancy Pelosi's San Francisco values are the values of the United States of America? And moreover, do you think that the twisted values of Nancy Pelosi's constituency are the values of those in Montana? I don't think so. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Is the Savage Nation. This is a big story, the Montana story, for one reason. It's not what happened or did not happen. We see how far the evil left-wing machine has penetrated the heartland of America. The virus that we have seen that has disseminated itself in all the major cities has now been inserted into small local communities. Just as Obama brought in individuals infected with the Zika virus, which was never in this nation, in order to infect the nation. Just as Obama, it came out today, released MS-13 gang members from prison on purpose at the end of his regime of horror, we now see that the evil of the left is attempting to poison every community in the United States of America. Just as they have taken immigrants from far-flung communities, knowing they would never ever fit in hardline Christian communities and put them there. Remember what Obama did. He took Muslims from areas. Not only, these were not Muslims who were educated. These were not professionals. Many of them had never used a toothbrush or toilet paper. And he took them and put them into white Christian communities across America, specifically to cause antagonism. If you think I'm making this up, you are wrong. It is a fact what I just told you. And so they're looking to get now a left-winger there, a Democrat who put on a cowboy hat. God knows where he's really from. A Democrat in Montana? Okay, so they got him a cowboy hat. They got him a pair of boots. And they said that the Republican candidate assaulted the poor, innocent reporter. And that the Republican-leaning state will now be taken over by a Democrat. Well, there may be more to the story than meets the eye. The Republican, Mr. Gianforte, was in fact charged with misdemeanor assault after a political correspondent for the U.S. edition of the Guardian newspaper, which is a left-wing rag, by the way, claims the candidate body slammed him and broke his glasses. Now, the reporter, Ben Jacobs, had been goading him and alluding that he had ties to Russia. Again, the same exact story. Well, my friends, we'll see what happens at the end of the day. And this story is not going away, it's just starting. But to me, there's a much bigger story, which is why a creepy little reporter like this for the Guardian newspaper would not go into mosques in America a few days after little girls were macerated by a Muslim who planted a bomb at a dance at a concert. Why wouldn't the brave reporter Ben Jacobs stick his microphone in the face of an imam, even in America, and say to the imam, do you approve or disapprove of the bombing in England? Is it part of Islam or is it opposed by Islam? Where was Ben Jacobs with that?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
What the left-wing slime machine is trying to do here is cause an upset in order to say if we can take them down in a heavily Republican state such as Montana, the Republicans are in real trouble because there are two special House elections for Republican-held seats next month, one in Georgia and one in South Carolina. And they're hoping that they can cause a rout and lay it on Trump and health care and stuff like that. And so they sent out this slimy little reporter who has no guts whatsoever, who has no guts to go into a mosque after little girls are macerated by a Muslim. You forgot that already? Oh, you forgot that already, huh? You forgot that already, that a Muslim set off a bomb at a concert and little girls were macerated? And I mean, it's enough to rip your heart out. And I blame the reporters, by the way. I actually don't even blame ISIS. I blame the press for letting them get away with it, by covering it up, by sweeping it away, by not following up, by letting these stories disappear and going on to this trivia like this. And so you understand it's a much bigger picture than just what happened in Montana. We have an enemy within. Many of them are in the entertainment business or the reporting business, and all they do is keep pushing false narratives. By not covering certain stories, they cover the story. Here's another one that they just came out with on Yahoo. Why Melania Trump covers her head one day and not the next.
Ooh, Melania Trump. She wore a veil to the Vatican on Wednesday to meet the Pope, but no head covering a few days earlier in Saudi Arabia.
This is what's on their mind. Are you listening to this? This is their big story. And this is what they do. Again, they're not covering the Muslim connection, the Islamic connection. to why so many of these psychopaths go over to the violent side, that it's actually in their holy book. If what I just said to you were false, I wouldn't say it. Read the holy book. Read what they say about the infidel. Read how their mind becomes poisoned in mosques around the world, including your neighborhood, perhaps. And then you'll understand the danger we are in and how the entire West could collapse like a house of cards unless we are vigilant and stand up to these very snotty people who are now being defended as so-called journalists or reporters. It's not just this Gianforte who was under assault. We're all being assaulted by these left-wing drones. I'm very interested what will happen. Let's go to KYYA in Billings, Montana. Gary, what do you think is going to happen up there today in the election?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't think it's going to affect the election because a huge percentage of the electorate had already filed their ballots with mail-in ballots. I heard like 60%. So unless you're going to go in and file, change your ballot, which I doubt anyway.
Well, no, I covered that 70% have been cast, but I want to know what you think is happening after the incident.
Well, of those that are still voting, what I've heard is positive for Gianforte. Montana people like their space. You know, we have a million people in a state the size of California, and that includes personal space. And someone jabbing, I haven't heard your whole show, but did you hear the candidate's response, his written response?
Of course I did. I know what went on. He jabbed him in the face at a private little barbecue, and he was asked to leave. Moreover, I know that this so-called fake reporter who puts out fake news, this left-wing fanatic, had tried to connect Gianforte to Russia. I understand that as well.
Yeah. Plus, he grabbed his wrist. And so he made the first contact, and then
I don't know who grabbed what, and I don't support violence. Let me be very clear. But to me, the act that the reporter was engaged in was an act of aggression and violence unto itself. By continuing to badger somebody, knowing that you're going to provoke them, to me that's a form of violence, is it not, Gary?
I agree. And he put it in his face, and he tried to move it away, and that's when they got into the tumult.
Well, I don't know if they sell Trump's War in the bookstores in Montana, but you're getting one in the mail. Here's another story that should be major, major, major. CBS Minnesota. Two Muslim brothers were arrested with guns and bomb-making materials. This just happened recently. 27-year-old Abdullah Al-Rifai and 26-year-old Majid Al-Rifai were arrested on May 11 in North Minneapolis. And the two brothers had ties to the Middle East. They had an arsenal with bomb-making material, guns and ammunition in their car. So now Homeland Security and the FBI are involved in the investigation, which started outside a federally subsidized senior housing project. An African-American Good Samaritan confronted the two men because they were littering garbage out of their car. So he said to them, hey, don't throw this garbage around here. The man who asked that his name not be used for fear of his safety said the Muslim brothers jumped out of their car, moved aggressively toward him, and used the N-word. He then called the police. The police arrived. They searched the Muslim car, the Muslim brother's car, and guess what they find in the Religion of Peace's car? A loaded AK-47, another rifle, a handgun, a grenade, large amounts of ammo, what later would be identified as bomb-making materials, including a drone. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Are you listening? Now, this guy, Abdullah whatever, had recently been released from jail after serving time for a weapons conviction. His brother, Majid, has been released already and is facing a low-level misdemeanor charge. Are you listening to me carefully? The African-American Good Samaritan is outraged that the charges were not more serious. He said for what they found in their car, that is way too light. That is way too light. So now the Good Samaritan's life is in danger because of the lawyers and because of the police department. And they're out of jail. One of them is out of jail, even though they found this arsenal. And this is not being covered by the reporters from The Guardian, is it? And they're not covering the fact that the man who called the police because they were littering is saying that he's shocked how light the sentence is. They're not covering that, are they? Because it doesn't fit the agenda of the radical left. Listen to me. Nations fall. Nations fall when they're undermined from within. Just as if you have a house, it could be the strongest house in the world. If you let termites eat away at your foundation and you know the termites are eating away at the foundation, but you don't call an exterminator to stop it, eventually the foundation will be rotted out and the house will collapse. A nation is no different. Trust me on that. And we have termites eating away at the foundation of America every day, nibbling at the solid timbers that built this nation. Do I have to spell out who the termites are in human form? Do I have to spell out to you that they are being aided and augmented by the press, who will not even say to you we have termites in the basement, instead focusing on trivia every day of the week? Okay, I think I made my point. There's no point in beating it up, because no matter what I say, those who know will always know, and those who don't will never. I wrote that when I was 17. I remember writing it in my journal. I saw the ignorance of the nation even then, and I made a note in my journal. Those who know will always know, and those who don't will never. There's no changing some people, no matter what happens. You could see Muslims blowing up little girls at a concert, and they'll still go and go to a red, white, and blue Republican candidate for office because they're twisted. Their minds are destroyed. It's that simple. And now what about that story of drug counselors overdosing at an addiction facility in Pennsylvania? That's a bigger story than you may imagine. Because I don't believe these opiate recovery centers are actually doing their job. They're basically revolving doors. You know, you go into an office building, you know what a revolving door is? You go in one side, you come out the other. How many people, what is the rate of recovery in these opiate recovery centers? Who owns them? Who are the holding companies that own the recovery centers? What are their connections to politicians? Why are the manufacturers of OxyContin not arrested? How is it that the manufacturers who own a pharmaceutical firm can make more OxyContin pills than are actually consumed legitimately and not be arrested? Can you explain that to me? Let's say X hundreds of millions of pills are actually prescribed. I mean, there's a careful accounting. It's a certain class of drug. Certain hundreds of millions of them are accounted for by the prescription data. And yet there are more than these hundreds of millions being produced by the people who own the drug company that make OxyContin. Why has the federal government not arrested them? Have an answer to that one? Follow the money. See who they support. See where they give donations. And you'll find out that there may be more to the story than you may believe. KBOI, George on line two, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, thank you so much for helping save our country. I'm just so privileged to have read both Scorched Earth, Government Zero, and Trump's War, and all that you're doing.
I appreciate it. Let me tell you something. People may think it's a joke. It's not easy. We're under assault day and night, and I try to fight the battle as best I can, like anybody who loves this country and loves his children would do. Go ahead, please.
And the media, academia, medicine, government are all championing dependency rather than self-sufficiency. And that's what has brought about the demise in the drug addiction, alcoholism industry. You know, I've been trying to help people for 35 years, and they keep succumbing to this dependency ideology being peddled by people that have other interests. And, you know, books like Scorecard, Alcoholism and Addiction Remission Program, they don't ever even see the light of day because they just want to peddle those books that will help create a more dependent nation.
What do? They tell those abusers that they're victims somehow, that they're not responsible for their own addiction?
Correct, and they just need to be accepted. And once being accepted is achieved, then they'll find their way to recovery. And that even like said.
Well, I don't believe that. I think that recovery can only come from within, number one. And I think the only way a person can make up their mind to get off drugs or alcohol is to say, I am a sick person. I'm a disgusting person, and the only one who can help me is myself. I'm not going to pick up the bottle anymore. I'm not going to put that needle in my arm. I'm not going to smoke that joint. I'm not going to eat one of those gooey bars with marijuana because I know I'm an addict. No matter how carefully they try to tell you that marijuana is not addictive, it is perhaps one of the most addictive drugs on the planet. And so there's a gigantic industry now pushing the narrative that marijuana is helpful. Well, yeah, it could be that certain components of marijuana, certain non-psychoactive components of marijuana do help with certain diseases, but that's not the same as getting high every day, is it?
No. And those people that recovered in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, they recovered with that depression mentality of self-sufficiency.
Look, as I said earlier, It's heartbreaking. I could hear it in your voice because you're in the recovery business or war. Those who know will always know, and those who don't will never. You cannot teach certain people anything. Do you know that? You know that by now, don't you, George?
Bless you. Bless you.
In other words, don't waste your breath anymore on certain people. They're not going to change. We're under assault on every level, and that's all we can do is recognize it and keep them away from us and protect ourselves and our family. It's a full-time job because we're involved in a full-time psycho-civil war. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Look, by now, you've probably heard about the massive cyber attack by the ransomware called WannaCry. It hit 200,000 victims across nearly 100 countries. This bad computer virus locks your files and then demands you pay $300 to regain access to your own data or lose your files forever. Can you believe this? This is terrible. It's a terrible thing. These cyber attacks can lead to identity theft. And to safeguard against this epidemic and giving hackers access to your data, apply the latest security patch, back up your computer, and do regular malware scans. Identity theft is America's fastest growing crime. It happens when thieves use your information to pretend they're you. They can buy things on your credit, liquidate bank accounts, or even get retirement funds. LifeLock scans hundreds of millions of transactions every second. If they detect your information, they send you an alert like that. And then if you have a problem, a U.S.-based agent will work to fix it. Free credit monitoring only alerts you to changes in credit. Now, look, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. We know that. But LifeLock is the best identity theft protection available. Memberships start at $9.99 a month, plus taxes. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. That's promo code SAVAGE. Get it again. 1-800-LIFELOCK, promo code SAVAGE. And that SAVAGE promo code will get you 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Write it down, LifeLock.com, SAVAGE, save 10% right now. WKZO Radio in Michigan. Ron on line 7, what's your topic?
Hey, thanks, Michael. I'm calling about the opiate addiction. You made mention about some of the therapists relapsing in OxyContin. I'm a recovering pharmacist of 27 years of continuous sobriety, and I went to long-term treatment. And about 50% of the therapists, you know, are in recovery, and that's how they make good therapists. And it's not unheard of that they do relapse. So that story that I heard.
Wait. You say you're in recovery for 27 years, so you were addicted to what? Because OxyContin wasn't around then, was it?
Correct. It still was opiates in general. You know, still was Vicodin, Percocet, Percodan.
So back in those days, you were what? You were stealing Vicodin out of your pharmacy?
Yeah, that was the case. And
how did you? Well, I'm not trying to be a wise guy here. How could you do it since every pill is accounted for?
Well, it's very interesting. You know, I was just getting out of pharmacy school, and I was floating around the different pharmacies. You know, and you know, I knew it was out of control. You know, so I got a look.
How do they make more? How do the guys who own the OxyContin company make more pills than are sold by the hundreds of millions? How do they get away with that?
Well,
in other words, doctors prescribe a certain amount of pills with OxyContin in it, right? And yet, hundreds of millions more are made by the company that owns it. How do they get away with it?
Well, you know, there is a big crackdown right now on all those, and that's why you really see. Right now, there's actually more heroin overdoses, primarily because they're really cracking down on the OxyContins, the Vicodin, and not the.
And heroin, I understand, is actually cheaper than these pills.
Correct. That's why you're seeing more heroin overdoses now as they're cracking down on some of the pain meds. My wife's a physician, and she's finding it more of a hassle to prescribe the proper pain meds for people.
All right, so then they're going in the street and buying heroin. Well, the answer is the drug dealers. And the fact of the matter is, the government has to do more on that issue. Everybody knows that. But Trump has his hands full with the snakes in the media. I doubt very much that he's going to be able to focus on all the problems that really plague America. He just lost again. A so-called appeals court just knocked Trump out again on the travel ban, welcoming in more from terrorist-controlled areas of nations that should never be allowed in here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award.
I don't know about you, but I grew up, well, I always loved cars. I grew up in the age of the hot car, drag racing on streets where you weren't allowed to drag race. The connecting highway in Queens was a famous place. And the sound of motors is still in my head. I'm still a car nut to this day. There was a while I went through a phase of saying, oh, who cares about such things, till I realized that the most humble Arab in the desert cares about which camel he has. And his status is based upon how fast this camel can run. Since mankind could mount something and use it to ride, whether it be whatever, a pony in the air steppes of Asia, or a camel in the Middle East, as I said, man has been obsessed with motion of this type. So I'm a car nut. And it's a hobby of mine. And you know I collect cars. Few. I don't have enough space or I would have more. I've been trying to buy a big garage building, by the way. I can't find one where I live. There's no spaces here. It's sickening, right? I know what I'd buy. There's certain cars I want to get, like a 53 Cadillac convertible, a 49 Ford, things that I want that I would get. But anyway, right now I have a number of cars. So two of them are Jaguars, an XK150 1961 drophead coupe, like gorgeous, drop-dead gorgeous, and then a 1970 XKE Series 2 4.2 Roadster. And I spent a lot of time and money repairing them. They were in nice shape when I got them. They always looked good. I never would buy a junker to restore. They were good drivable cars, but they're troublesome. And I get troublesome cars because I like troublesome things. Everything in my life has to be slightly troublesome for me to enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point? And secondly, there's a beauty in something troublesome that you can fix and make run right, by the way. So to make a long story short, I wanted to talk a little bit, I never do, about my hobby of cars because it's such a big thing in America. Every month I go to the bookstore and I see the bums in Barnes & Noble, like yesterday. I get a Hemmings Motor News sports car market. There's always a guy or a few eating a cake and drinking coffee and ruining magazines and books. I'm the kind of guy that takes it. I stare at them. They stare back at me. So I pointedly said to my assistant yesterday as I picked up Hemmings Motor News, I said, oh, here's one without cake crumbs in it, no coffee stains. And I look at the guy, stares at me, this old man. The coffee he was drinking, by the way, wasn't even from the Barnes & Noble store. He brought it from home. You know the type, don't you? The type, you know that going to a bookstore and taking advantage of them by reading magazines for free or books is the equivalent of shoplifting. But I'm from the old school. I wouldn't do that. I mean, I'll glance at a magazine. If I want it, I'll buy it. Otherwise, I'll put it back neatly. I see pigs in these bookstores. I don't know how these stores survive. That's like millions of dollars worth of pilferage, letting people sit there forever. I don't know why they don't say there's a five-minute, you know, browsing limit. Why don't they do that anymore? But anyway, getting back to the cars, you look at the auctions around America. We all watch them in passing. Mecum auctions. And people buy the cars, and they get crazy, and they take it home. And they say, what did I buy it for? They don't even know why they paid so much. They get excited at the auction. So I picked up the Hemmings Motor News, and I see the cars now. The Porsche 911T is becoming hot, the older Porsches. The 57 Chevy Bel Air. Everybody's seen one of those, right? Even when you were young, if you were alive at the time, the 57 Chevy was hot. Remember years ago I had a 65 Caddy convertible? I know, why am I not talking about terrorism or Montana? Because I did it already. I'd rather talk about cars for a little while. So years ago, I had a Cadillac 65 that I had on stage, by the way, that I... This 65 red Cadillac convertible is still online somewhere. I used in a stage performance back in the... When I started, I don't know, year 92. I don't remember the year. Teddy was a baby. I had him on stage. It must have been 92. I don't know when. He was a little black poodle. He's all gray now, like me. And it's years later. I had the 65 Caddy. I used it as part of my performance, a red one. I sold it a number of years ago through Left Coast Classics up in Sonoma. A guy bought it up in Alaska, I think. It's still around somewhere. So cars is something I want to talk about for a minute because the market's very exciting. And apparently, it's a huge hobby in America. Not what the reporters would let you. Have you ever seen a reporter from the New York Times talk about the Americans who love cars and collect them? No, you haven't. Because we're supposed to think only about green cars. Cars that run on batteries. Of course, they don't look at the cost of building, of putting energy into the battery, which is higher than that of putting the energy into a tank through a tank of gasoline, if you actually do the analysis. But so, car, are you a car collector? I want you to talk about cars. So I had the mechanic over. I told you, every time I drive the XK, it's $800. I don't know how it happens. I drove it down the hill and drove it up and started to leak oil after I had it repaired. I had these valve cover gaskets replaced because they were leaking. There was a leak coming out of it. I don't like leaks. I have the pan under the thing in the garage. So he said, oh, it's the valve cover gaskets. He's a nice guy. I trust him. And he repairs them and something else. I don't know what else. Comes back. I took it for a long ride over the weekend, like 8 miles. And oil was coming out of another part of the XK engine. So I called him up. So he said, all right, he's a nice guy. He came over with his torque wrenches yesterday. And he tightened up the valve, not the valve cover gaskets, but the gaskets, the oil pan gaskets. The oil, I don't know what gas, the other gasket. So I like to do it. It relaxes me. You know why I like to watch and learn a little bit about cars? Because it's doable. In other words, if something's wrong, A, you can figure it out, and B, there's an answer to the problem. It's not esoteric. It's there. So either the gasket was bad, or this was bad, or that was bad, or there's blowback through the pipe. So I watch him talk down the things to a certain amount, and we talk about cars. Then I went to the bookstore, and I picked up Sports Car Market, and the cover of it shows an XKE, a Series 1. It says, always in style, $327,000. I said, what? Now, of course, I have a Series 2, which is worth about much less than that. Then there's the $2.6 million Ferrari F50. I can't believe the prices at these Amelia Island and Mecum auctions that cars are bringing. And I know that the average guy out there is not buying a $2.6 million or $555,000 Aston Martin, but he is buying a Chevy. He is buying a Ford. And I wonder why people pick certain cars as part of their hobby car collection, whether it's one car or three cars. Is it a 57 Chevy Bel Air because it reminds you of your youth when you couldn't afford it? Or is it an 06 Ford GT, which is worth millions of dollars if you can believe that? I can't believe the prices that they're bringing. You look at this 1995 Ferrari F50, sold in 2016 for $1.9 million. Say, wow, what is going on? Where's all this money coming from? Now, I know it gets the greenies insane. To see the people collect cars and still love them and go to these auctions, you know. Corvettes are a big deal. You're not going to buy a Bugatti, you might buy a Corvette. So everyone has their little thing. And, you know, I want to talk about car collection for a while. I think that would be fun to do. How about a 1966 Ford Shelby GT350 convertible? Did you ever think it would be worth $300,000? Unbelievable, right? It's hard to believe the prices. I like to study these things because it's a symptom of our times. How about a Mercedes-Benz 300 SL Goldwing? What do you think they're worth? They're one of the most beautiful collectible cars in the world. Maybe it's falling on deaf ears. I'd rather talk about cars for 15 minutes than talk about Islamic terrorism, if you don't mind. There's enough trouble in the world. Or I'll put it to you this way. What is your hobby? What do you, the listener of the Savage Nation, do to tune out from the politics of the day? From the evildoers in the media, the liars and lousy liars who are always trying to destroy Trump. We've had enough of it. What's your hobby if you want to go past cars? I mean, not everyone's into cars. Some are. I don't know what people do for hobbies. But I look at these prices. I'm just shocked at them. And they're bringing more and more money every day that you look at them. going up and up and up. I don't know where it's going to end. Like anything else, nobody really knows. Top 10 sales that you look in the sports car magazine, you'll never believe the prices. A 2015 McLaren P1 Coupe sold for $2.3 million in Florida. A 1956 Maserati, Maserati from 56 sold for $2.3 million. A 55 Ferrari 250 Europa sold for $2.2 million. You hear these numbers? And a 12 Bugatti sold for $1.6 million. A 49 Aston Martin DB Mark II sold for $1.5. And a Fiat, even a 53 Fiat 8V Supersonic Coupe sold for $1.3 million. But the shocker here are the Porsches that are going up in value. Here is a 1977 Porsche 934. It was a racer, true. Sold for $1.3 million. So, I mean, you look at the, where the heck is the money coming from? And what are people doing with them? And it's an interesting thing. I mean, the whole thing of restoring cars, it's almost a cult. And I wonder what people are buying. One of the things I wish I had bought over the years, I don't have the space for it, are military vehicles. There was a garbage man in the town I lived in. Great guy. He passed away a few years ago. I'll never say anything bad about a garbage man, by the way. But he was an actual nice garbage man. He owned military vehicles. It was in Marin County, California. Terrific guy. Runs a great garbage company. I speak very highly of him. But he did. He collected military vehicles from World War II. And he had a huge collection. Every time there was a July 4th parade, he would put his military vehicles on parade. And you should see the stupid liberals when the military trucks would go by. They would like boo or look down. But if I swear I'm not making this up. If a Boy Scout troop of transvestites went by, they would cheer wildly and wave a green flag. I live in it's an Alice in Wonderland world that I'm living in with the world that I grew up in and the world that actually should exist and does exist on the Savage Nation, does not exist where I live. That's why I keep to myself. And I do want to talk about cars. What do you do for your hobby to get your mind off of politics, to get your mind off the meltdown of our society, to get your mind off the fact that they're still bringing in Muslims from countries that should not be allowed in, to get your mind off the fact that just today a group of idiotic judges in a circuit court knocked down Trump's travel ban, which would have prevented more Muslims from coming in from, we know, countries that are so dangerous that as common sense would say keep them out, especially after what they did to the little girls in Birmingham. These bums, these filth in black robes, just upheld a travel ban saying, oh, bring in more from Somalia, bring in more from Syria, oh, bring in more from Libya, because we love to see the bombs going off. What do you do to get your mind off this stuff if you don't use drugs? What do you do? What's your hobby? Do you collect coins? I don't know how that would help, but people do. Collect stamps. I'd like to hear what hobbies are. I think it's an interesting show. I haven't done one of these in years. I don't think I ever did one in all my years because there's a burnout factor for all of us. And I'm going to take some calls on hobbies in a minute or on cars right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Amazing, at least in my mind, men wore hats, women wore gloves, people went to church. Take a look at the country. Is it better or worse? I mean, I hear people screaming, they're free, they're free, they're free. But as Orwell said, I hear their chains rattling. That's why they're addicted, whether it be to drugs or sex or rock and roll. They're addicted. And we're talking about hobbies now, because hobbies do relax people. I know, oh, a hobby? My hobby is spiking my arm with heroin. Oh, a hobby? I go to orgies every night. That's my hobby. Good for you. Get back to me when you're 50. So the article came out, by the way. I multitask. Michael Savage, if Trump talked with Russia, so what? Torkos predicted in October Dems would claim victory illegitimate. It came up 6 minutes ago on WorldNet Daily. I linked it on michaelsavage.com. I sent it to my friends in the media. I hope it gets wide exposure. I'm going to send it to Donald. Where is he now? He's not going to get it. I'm going to send it through people. If Trump talked with Russia, so what? He's got to understand this was a setup from the get-go, right? So we're talking about hobbies, that's all. Linda on KSFO. Linda, what is your hobby?
Yes, I have a 1957 Chevy, four-door sedan, turquoise and white. I'm 50 years old. I love it. I love it more every day. I'm so glad I never sold it. And
now, wait, let's start from the top. Is this a restored car, or you inherited it as it is?
I bought it from the third owner, all original.
Why did you pick a 57 Chevy? What did it symbolize for you? Was it the year or what?
I would say the year. I went to art school. For me, it sort of epitomizes America during that time, and I feel like I'm driving.
That's interesting that you should say. That's what I'm trying to get at. Like, my 65 Caddy was 19 feet, 8 inches long. It was monstrous, all steel and heavy chrome, and I said, this was America when they could still build a big car. I had a friend, an African-American friend, he said, Michael, he said, that's motoring, man. That's not driving. He said, that's motoring in that car. He loved it. Yeah, so certain cars symbolize certain times in our life, you know. And the XKE that I like, this was a car I always wanted when I was young and poor and couldn't afford it. I knew they were troublesome. Everybody knows that. And their sculpture. It's like driving a piece of sculpture that leaks oil and breaks down. It doesn't break down every minute. I'm exaggerating a little bit. But there's something about, you know, that car was the first car, that Jag, with an independent rear suspension. For those of you who don't know, the engineering, they were very advanced, the English at the time. British engineers were so far ahead of their time that when the first XK came out, the XK120 in 1949, I think, like post-war, that car was so ahead of its time. Unfortunately, they kept the mechanics a little too long, like they used the same SU carburetors until 1985. They just wouldn't let it go. You know what I mean? They needed rubber that leaked. They needed seals that blew. But they were way ahead of their time for 1949. I guess they just should have changed it by 1985. How in the world can an SU carburetor be advanced today? Well, I have three of them on my XKE. What a complicated system this is. Just starting that car is like the Jupiter mission for me. Every time I get in that car with Teddy, this is a funny story in its own way to me. I get in the little car. Now, I got to pull the manual choke. He looks at me because he knows it's trouble, and he sees my eyes. You know how dogs watch you. They're great analysts. He sees the eyes, the worried, nervous look. I pull the choke. I turn the ignition. I hear the mechanical fuel pump tick, 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 tick. Then he waits to see. I have put the foot a quarter of an inch, and I turn. And it goes, and Teddy's like looking there. Oh, God, no. And when that thing fires up, it's like I launched a rocket into the first phase on the way to Jupiter. It's fantastic to see how happy the dog is when that XKE starts. I got to tell you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Indeed.
You know, here I am sailing into the last half hour of today's show. 2 hours, hot politics. Now we're doing hobbies, cars, auctions. You know, and I tell you, this really pleases me for a number of reasons. One, because we need to take a break from the liars in the media and the destructive ways that they have about them. And I'm being nice about it now. Now I'm being a nice guy. I'm being Yitzhak, the rabbi right now. You know how much I despise them and what actually should be done. I mean, what he did to him in Montana. Okay, let that go, please. There's only so much we can take from them goading us and undermining us and poisoning our children's minds and extolling drug addiction, extolling degeneracy. There's only so much we can take, so we turn away from it. And fortunately, we don't turn away and become violent if we're rational, civil people. We turn away, and that's it. So a lot of people are turning off. So what are they doing? They're going back to their regular lives. Especially now, because things are so hyper, hyper, hyper. So as I said to you, one of my hobbies is cars. I happen to love them. I don't care if they're troublesome. A lot of things that are beautiful are troublesome. You know, I can get a car that's trouble-free. Big deal. So it's transportation. I'm not looking for transportation. It's not that I'm looking for trouble. But on the other hand, some things that are very, very finicky are also incredible. And that's why I seem to collect those kind of cars. Not the only kind of car I would get. I mean, honestly, I'd rather have one that didn't cause trouble. I have a 1961, for example, XK150 drophead coupe. It must have been restored 10 years before I bought it. I bought it 2 years ago in L.A. and brought it up to San Francisco. It's in a garage. I never drive it once in a while. This thing starts immediately. Never causes any trouble. Beautiful. Black with a red interior. And that's another car I love. I just love the look of that car. My mechanic said in all the car shows he's ever gone to, he's never seen one like this with absolutely straight body panels. My father taught me, we only bought used cars when I was young because that's what we had the money for. So the first thing he taught me is you get on your knees and you look down the side of the car. The first thing you look at is to see if the chassis was bent in those days, right? If it had been in a collision, the chassis would have been slightly off. Now, who ever knew about that stuff? My father taught me these little things. Then he said, look along the two sides, left and right, and see if there's any ripples in it. That means it was hit. Little things, big deal, because nobody buys used cars in America. It's disposable. You lease a car for 2-3 years, and you send it back. You leave it in the sun. The leather rots. You don't care. I'm a guy. I have ding neurosis. Whatever car I am driving, I'm the guy who parks on the far end of the parking lot. I have total ding neurosis. I'll drive around, and I'll look, and if the spot's not wide enough, I'll leave the lot. I'll go to another lot. Okay, Sam, crazy. I am a meticulous owner, and it's not only of cars. Everything I own, I've been that way. I value the possessions that I have, and there's a certain pride I have in maintaining them, whether it be my shoes or my car, to be very honest with you, or the gun. Do you keep your gun oiled? Do you keep your clock oiled if it's an old antique clock? So it's the same thing. I don't want dings in my car. It gets me agitated to see a ding in the door. Some of you don't care. All right. That's how you are. So I got the ding neurosis thing. I drive to the edge of the lot. If the spot's too narrow, it's crazy. But I don't think I'm alone in this. I think a lot of people have ding neurosis. Why? You can have a beautiful car, want a schmuck to pull up next to you in a Prius that says Obama on it, Obama 08, and slam your car? That'll make you crazy if you come back and see that. What are you going to do? What are you going to do if you come back and you see a guy ding your beautiful car and you know he did it on purpose? What are you going to do? Nothing. You're not going to key the car. You're not a Democrat. You're not going to take out a knife and puncture his tires. You didn't vote for Obama. You didn't vote for Bernie. So what you're going to do is nothing, and you're going to eat it. That's all. So anyway, so the point is that, yes, I like possessions. And sometimes if they're quirky, what are you going to do? I'm quirky. But so what? I'm like a high-performance V16 car. Of course I'm quirky. I have to be oiled right. I have to be the right temperature, or else the V16 doesn't run properly. You want to get a four-cylinder engine that runs off a battery? That's not me. There's plenty of people in the media who are like two-cylinder, like a one-cylinder Renault from 1910. Look at Don Lemon. In the cylinder department, he's got like a one-cylinder operating inside his head. I don't know what kind of fuel he runs in there. So what is your hobby is what I'm asking you. What I want to ask the audience something. I want to relax. I want to relax in the show this summer. I'm feeling great, by the way. I don't know where my energy came from. I have more energy now than I've had in 30 years. Now sounds like I'm going to sell a pill. I swear to God, it's unbelievable. I think I know why I do, too. I know I'm taking a new supplement, and it's not one that I sell, and it's not an ad. I'm not even going to mention it, because the minute I mention it, someone's going to put out a product and say that they did it. Maybe I should start putting out products that really, you know, that I myself make under my name. Nah, I'm not. I don't want to make money. I'm not in the money-making business. I don't want to do that. I make enough doing radio. I don't need to do that. I have wonderful advertisers. Let them make the fortune. The age of worrying about every nickel is so long over. I want to expose my ideas more than I want to put money into my bank account, if you know what I'm saying. And the car collection, fine, so I get more cars. What's that going to do for me? What am I going to do with Jay Leno? That's supposed to do with my old age is drive around in a car and go on YouTube with it. That's not my idea. But it's a hobby, that's all. Oh, by the way, my Dodge Hellcat, I shipped down to my house in L.A. I drove it once since I shipped it there. I was down in L.A. about a month ago. I mean, I started that thing up. I went up to a deli, and it like 2 miles away. It was like a shock driving on Mulholland Drive in down there. I don't think anyone's ever seen one. I'm going to go down to L.A. this weekend because I can't stand the weather here in San Francisco. Horrible, nightmarish. Last weekend was like a 95-er. You needed like short sleeve shirt, barbecue, rotting, children jumping in the water. It was like out of a carnival of heat. Then all of a sudden, Monday, the fog comes blowing through the Bay Area, and it's cold, it's windy, it's horrible. I have to heat on. I'm wearing flannel pajamas at night, 8 covers I put a coat on the dog, and it's not going to end this weekend. I'm going to L.A. I got to get out of here for 2 days. So the question is, how am I going to go? Oh, boy. I'm not driving. Actually, I'd like to drive. I prefer driving, but I don't have anything I want to drive in. I have a 2006 Chevy van, but it's too far a ride. I mean, it's 8 hours. Until you get there, 7-8 hours, and the whole thing. I'm going to go with Southwest, the baggage people. I'm ready. I have tape remover in case I get taped, and by the time I get off, I have the tape removing solution. I fear going on commercial airlines, but all right, what are you going to do? You sit like a dummy. The whole time you conform. From the minute you enter the airport, you already lost your life. So you got to wear shoes that slide right off. That's number one. Then you got to let people who are basically gangbangers search your body cavities without people you would normally avoid at all costs in your whole life. You spent your whole life trying to get away from them. There they are putting their fingers all over your body for no reason. You give it up. So I'm not looking forward to that part of it. I'll wear loose clothing. I won't wear any watches. I'll take nothing personal. No matter what he says, yes, sir, a moron, yes, sir, whatever you say, yes, sir, sure, sir, yes, ma'am, yeah, nah, schmuck. Yeah, right, I really respect you. But, okay, TSA, right, I respect you. Guy could come through with a ticking time bomb and wires hanging out of his body, but if he's talking in Arabic, they'll let him right through. But your grandmother in a wheelchair, if she looks Irish and she's wearing a nun's habit, they'll strip her naked in a back room. That's the country you live in. That's what happened to this country because we're so passive. But anyway, getting back to to hobby cars here, you could see why a person needs to relax and looking at car magazines. By the way, I got to tell you something. I want to be I got to do this in a very dignified manner. You know how there's bathroom reading that helps you, like, get your mind off problems so that things like nothing better than car magazines. I got to tell you, perfect. The most natural organic way to keep yourself, like, functioning properly is, like, read car magazines if you're into it. I don't know. Read other hobby magazines. I don't think reading an ammo magazine is going to do it for you. That'd make you tense, like how to put an X in the lead on the bullet in order to go to Bozeman, you know, that kind of thing. So what is your hobby? I got plenty of people calling, that's all. Oh, here's one. Kevin on KSFO, Line 3, San Francisco. Kevin, what's on your mind?
Well, Dr. Savage, that's a tale of two Jaguars. The first, my dad hated Jaguars. He grew up in the body and fender business and was a pretty good mechanic. But my mother loved Jaguars. And so he would buy old Jaguars and then put good paint jobs on them and sell them. And wow. I was in Texas when I was a little kid. My dad was going to school there. And our nanny needed an operation to save her life. And there was no medical insurance. There was no health care. This is before Medicare. And so my family sold the Jaguar to pay for her her operation.
What year was this?
Actually earned. Go ahead.
What year was this?
This is 1962.
Oh, my God. So how much could you have sold it for?
It had a really good lacquer coat, about an 8 or 10 coat lacquer job on it. So,
How much money did you get for it?
About $2,500, I believe.
Wow, you couldn't even buy like a wire wheel for that car today. But they're just beautiful to look at. They're nice in the garage. You know what these cars are for? The Italians have it down in Italy. The Ferrari owners in Italy, they have these, you know, like, let's say, a Tuscan estate or whatever, you know, like the type that Obama stays in, the man of the poor. They have, it's like they have a barn, like an upgraded, beautiful barn. They sit around, and the Ferraris sit in the Ferrari, or a few of them are sitting in the garage. They smoke cigars, they drink grappa, and they look at the car. They're smart. They don't drive them. What's the point of driving a Ferrari? What good is that? They'd rather look at them, like many things that are made to be looked at and not driven. We'll leave it at that. Barry on KBET in Las Vegas, Line 5, what's your hobby?
My hobby, I've mentioned this to you before, is a 1950 MGTD Roadster that my dad drove in to San Francisco from Santa Rosa. He knew the general manager of your British Motors there in San Francisco. Paid $1,850 for a bright red leather interior. He drove it home to Santa Rosa. Years later, I went there after I graduated. He promised me I picked it up. I brought it here to Las Vegas, Nevada. I meticulously went through it. That was my hobby and pleasure for years. And then last year, I backed it out of the garage, and I said, you know something? It's my son's time. When I called him up, and I said, come down and get the MG, he was elated. He lives in Boulder City, Nevada. He is now bright red again, and he just loves it. It's given him a pleasure for another 30 years. So we've had it.
So wait, you're saying the same car your son now owns that your father owns, the same exact car?
Exactly the same car. My dad, the only thing he did to it, he put brand new wire wheels on it because those stock wheels are very boring looking. And in 1955, he wanted to up it a little bit as far as power. He put a 1955 TF MG in it, which was 1500 instead of the 1250 cc.
When I and what, they run Webers or SU carburetors in that one?
SU.
Yeah, they're tricky. They're weird carburetors. They have a nice sound to them, though. I like the sound of the air being sucked through them. You know how when they start, they have a nice hiss to them. Well, thanks for that one. See, here's the question. I know maybe, I should be talking about the bombing or the this or the Trump or the Montana. I did it already. I'm not going to just beat it to death. You know what I'm saying? We're talking cars, hobbies. I'm explaining it to you. It's peaceful to sit in the garage and figure out what's wrong. Now, look, I'm no expert mechanic, and these are very complicated cars, many of them. The newer cars are far more complicated, but they're less trouble. They're so amazingly advanced, our cars of today, that they very rarely cause trouble, especially within a certain mileage period. And so people are not into it. Who picks up a hood of a car today, even in a gas station? Let's do a cultural thing for a minute. You go to a gas station. Guy gets gas, and that's the end of it. Or she pumps her tank and walks away. How many people do you see lifting a hood and checking the water and checking the oil? Nobody. Well, when I grew up, that was standard because they all lost oil and they all lost water. So everybody knew how to look for the water level, and they had little tricks that if they're on a road trip and the car was overheating, they learned that you take the water hose in the garage or the gas station, and you run it on the radiator, on the outside of the radiator, to cool the car down. Now, who even remembers that? Nobody. Or the oil stick. How many people listening to the show ever pull the oil stick out of their car and check the oil? Never. Because you figure, I don't do it. It doesn't need it. They're perfect. Well, all right. So it's another time. So is this an antiquated thing to do? Yes. Is it a foolish thing to do? No. Does it relax most people who do it? Yes. And there are reasons for it. And they're quite understandable because these are known problems, have known, in other words, you know, if you can figure out what's wrong, and it's easy to do with a good mechanic, then there's a fix for it. Now, wouldn't you love in your own life if you could open up your brain and find out that it's a screw loose that's here that you can fix? Wouldn't you love to be able to open up the brain of Wolf Blitzer and say, aha, we found the reason that he's so anti-American and so psychotic? It's because he's got not a loose screw, but all his screws fell into the inside of the brain cap.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You know, this punk reporter, this Ben Jacobs, who set up the Gianforte for U.S. Congress, let me tell you something. I can't tell you what I'd like to say. I'd like to tell you what I feel with the tone of my voice. This punk, this low-life, degenerate, left-wing about the body slamming when he takes on an American like this and provokes him, sticking a microphone in his face, provoking him with lies. He's lucky he only got body slammed in Montana. That's all I can say. He thinks he's a hero now. Okay, good. Good for him. Good for him. He'll be on all the shows tomorrow with those with the screws clanking around inside their skulls. Unbelievable to me, the world we're living in when little punks like this can go and bring down real Americans with lies. Why do you think I'm talking about cars? Because it relaxes me to do it, number one, and I wanted to talk about hobbies, number two. There's only one solution to the problem we are in, and we can't go there. We are in, as I said today, I coined a new phrase, a psycho-civil war. I've not seen it anywhere, but it just came out of me. We're in a psycho-civil war right now. And unless this is stopped by the Jacobs, by the Blitzers, by the Tappers, and by all the others who are assaulting us day and night with lies and provocations, I'm afraid it'll go from the psycho-civil war to the next level. I'm asking the other side, if you're listening to me, cool it. Back off, because you're messing with the wrong people. You saw what happened in Montana? That's only the beginning of what's going to happen if you keep it up. You're not in a safe space. You're not on college campuses. You can't blow your whistles, and you can't call for mommy. And one day you're going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person. Back off. Cool it. Stop your provocations, because you're doing the wrong thing for America and the wrong thing for your own safety. And on that note, good night.
Savage.